The Around the NFL Podcast has plenty of cap room to work with.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
That's probably true. They're not spending a lot of cap room on the four of us, that's for sure.
We were just discussing our myriad financial issues, individual. It's the one thing we all have in common.
It bonds us.
Yes.
Except for me.
Oh, yeah. Are you a millionaire, Lindsay?
Close.
So you actually have the money. It's like in your account.
Oh, it's mine.
It's in your account. Because I've heard some stories now. Sometimes you can know that the cryptocurrency's there. But if it's this old thing, like, it's tough to sometimes actually get it into your account if it's old school. But
if you don't,
as soon as I found out that I had it, I took it and transferred it.
And you got it. It's all good.
If you're new, it's Lindsay, our producer. It's a Bitcoin largesse that she stumbled upon.
She somehow found some Bitcoin just hanging around in the corner of her room.
Is it north of five figures?
Yes.
I thought you already said it.
Who?
On the podcast. We went over under. Maybe you weren't here.
I don't recall that either.
Really? It was when we were at the combine.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
I didn't know we had clarity at that point. All right, congratulations, bully to you, Lindsay. The rest of us.
By the way, when we find out that people around us become wealthy, we don't feel good for you at all. We're just jealous and probably filled with rage.
Yeah. More rage.
You barely have to work the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Yes, this is the Friday edition of the Around the NFL podcast. We are just days away now from the start of free agency. And you know, if you are a longtime listener to the show, you know that that's when we put on our thinking caps and we break out another edition of Go Get My Lunch, Ya Human Zero, where we predict various free agency happenings against one another, putting sandwiches on the line, high octane sandwiches. And we'll do that on today's show, each of us coming up with a set of predictions, and it will be a lot of fun. Also, plenty to talk about in the news as teams continue to maneuver ahead of the start of free agency. The legal tampering window, stupidest phrase in professional sports, begins on Monday, and free agency opens on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. And true to Greg Rosenthal's promise to society, we have an ongoing trade tsunami sweeping across the nation.
The tsunami is washing ashore in Los Angeles, especially.
Give us that terrible tsunami drop already,
Lindsay. We're going to drown in it.
Greg finally cooks up a drop. You got to hit us with it, Linz.
Wait, was that just Lindsay's voice?
Nope.
That was good.
There it is.
Is there a car in there in the tsunami? I guess it's getting...
It's okay. It's a good start, Greg.
What are you talking about?
I feel that Greg is dead. You know what you're saying with the drop. His prediction is dead on.
Home run.
To the point where the start of free agency cannot be any hazier than at any other time. It's all started already.
All right. So yeah, let's get into all that news. And yeah, let's start with some trade talk. Let's do some news. Let's go. The trade tsunami begins with a trade that went down on Friday. Oh, my goodness. Jarvis Landry, who signed a franchise tender with the Miami Dolphins, has been sent to Mark Sessler's Cleveland Browns. They're trading two draft picks, according to Adam Schefter, who originally reported it. Rap Sheet came on later and also reported that Landry is going to the Browns. We don't know at the time of this taping what picks are going to Miami in the deal, but the Dolphins clear some cap space, much needed. The Browns, Mark Sessler, have a ton of cap space, and they're going to sign Landry to a big deal, it sounds like, as well. We'll start with you on this one, Mark. Do you like the trade for your Brownies?
I mean, it didn't blow me away because Jarvis Landry is not someone on my radar that I fantasized about the team necessarily grabbing. But the thing is, they need players on offense with a history of production. He gives you that. They have too many draft picks. You can't bring all these rookies into the team year after year. Depending on what sort of deal this long-term deal is and whether or not he fits into a very young locker room, those would be my questions. But Cleveland had to go get some veteran players to go along with all that. This is with such a young, raw roster. And I've heard behind the scenes that the roster and the way that the locker room is made up is there's a lot of attitude issues on this team. So Jarvis Landry is an interesting person to bring into that mix. But if you want to lure a free agent quarterback in and make things easier for a rookie quarterback, Landry helps.
Landry has 400 catches in his first four seasons. He is a guy that has the ability to be a game changer with his talent, but he also, Wes, as you've said many times on this show, does a lot of his damage near the line of scrimmage, so maybe not a game-breaker talent. And I would add that I'd be concerned if I was a team a premium player going to the Browns. I'd almost want to go to the Browns once I know for sure that they've figured their stuff out and they're going in the right direction. I feel like Landry is potentially in a dangerous spot here, but he's going to get paid a lot of money, so you can't feel too bad for him.
I wouldn't want to pay someone with that niche skill set, slot receiver skill set, that much money in a vacuum. But a very bad organization found a good player to take its money. And growing up in the 90s with the Bengals, I know how hard that is. Teams usually use that organization to get paid by someone else, not to get paid by that organization. The Browns had some of the most unreliable receivers in the league, which is a poor recipe for the number one overall pick in the draft or number four overall pick if it's a quarterback coming in. You don't want a rookie coming in with unreliable pass catchers. So I think just having a rock-solid guy like that who moves the chains is a good fit for the Cleveland.
And you paid a premium, but that's why you built up all this, a little bit of the premium, not just the cap space, which you have to spend on someone. And Ian Rappaport does say that the contract is coming. We know that Landry was asking for, I think, around $15-plus million a year from the Dolphins. We'll see what it comes to. I don't really buy that slot receivers aren't worth it. To me, that doesn't make sense, especially after watching Julian Edelman, for instance.
Well, they don't draw double teams. That's one of the reasons why they're not.
But I think he's a guy who can make bigger plays than he has. He's not a vertical receiver, but he has such great quickness. He's known for his competitiveness, his fire, his heart. So I know he's had a couple issues where he's maybe rubbed some people the wrong way, but I think he's not a guy that anyone questions his work ethic or how much he wants to win. And you're paying a premium because you're not just paying the salary, you're paying a pick. I would guess it would be one of those second-round picks. We'll find out. But I love this move for the Browns because they need players, and he's a player, and he's going to be there for a while.
I almost feel like the Dolphins are lucky this happened because it seemed like they could have been in another scenario. They would have been sitting on this deal for the entire season.
All right, so the Browns add another playmaker with the quarterback on the way. Get excited, Mark Sessler.
We'll see.
Let's more trade tsunami. L.A. Rams. I love this. I feel like Les Snead is really feeling himself right now. He's confident. He saw a team. What did they go, 12-4 last year?
11-5.
11-5. Had a home playoff game. Didn't work out for them. But instead of saying, oh, I like this team, rest on your laurels, no. He's polishing this gem now, and he's making moves. Marcus Peters was acquired a couple weeks ago, and now they have another top-flight cornerback in the building. The Rams and Broncos finalized the deal that will send cornerback Aqib Talib to Los Angeles in exchange for a fifth-round pick. Ooh, that's a nice deal for Les. This, according to James Palmer and Rap Sheet, the move comes just hours after Rappaport reported a standoff and trade talks involving Talib and a reunion with the Patriots. Chris Wessling, Aqib Talib, has maybe a couple years in the tank still, and a very talented cornerback. Another great move by the Rams, right?
Yeah, while the Seahawks are tearing down their historically great secondary, the Rams are building a great secondary to maintain control of the NFC West, which if there's a change in the guard, it certainly seems like Les Snead is not resting on his laurels here. Hmm.
To me, it speaks a lot to the power of having a Wade Phillips in your building that has sort of a tractor beam on players wanting to go play, and especially cornerbacks be maximized in his system. And it's, you know, the Rams are losing some guys too. Tremaine Johnson's out the door, but they're not losing ground when you make moves like this.
No, and the reason he wanted to go, I would assume, to Los Angeles over New England is that they're paying him $11 million. And that's what's different about trading in the NFL now. I find it fascinating that after all these moves, they still have about $40 million in cap room. So I don't think they're done at all. They sent a lot of players out. I don't think they've somehow built themselves into some crazy dream team. It is a great secondary with Peters and Tlaib, and we know Tlaib works with Wade Phillips. But as you mentioned, they're losing Tremaine Johnson. Their other starter, Kayvon Webster, isn't going to be ready for the start of the year. They're losing Nicole Roby-Coleman. So they have upgraded their secondary, but they had as many good free agents, I believe, probably more than any team in the NFL. And they're now sending Alec Ogletree, who played a lot for them, and Robert Quinn, who played a lot for him. So I don't think they're done yet. They still have moves to go. They had to be active. It reminds me a little bit of the Eagles last year. Like, they made a lot of moves in the first year Howie was back, and then they kept going crazy. I think the Rams knew they needed even more to really be able to maintain the level they were at.
And I mentioned Sam Shields. He also signed with the team on Thursday, and he is a 2014 Pro Bowl selection. So you add another name brand to that secondary.
Also hasn't played in a while. I think the Sam Shields kind of got baked into this. Is like
concussion.
I mean, yeah, he's, you know, I think that we'll see what you get from him.
I thought it was interesting. Wes, you retweeted a couple of people who just the impact that Tlaib made in Denver was immense. A
couple of their beat writers separately tweeted about how high his football IQ is, how well-respected he was in the Denver locker room, all of this going counter to his reputation as a guy who got in trouble and is kind of instigator. But apparently he's been one of the most important players in the last decade for the Denver Broncos.
I mean, it confirms, not that we need confirmation, that they're clearing room to make a serious run at Kirk Cousins too.
Absolutely.
Next up on the trade tsunami, Torrey Smith, wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, it's on the East Coast, too.
Oh, man, it's hitting us from all directions.
Just throwing this out there, tsunamis cause waves of death and fatalities and destruction. Mm-hmm. I like our lighter approach and, you know, to point light and make fun of something that wipes out large amounts of humans.
Well, trade tsunamis
kind of
just,
in our wheelhouse.
Are just fun, though. They're just fun. They're not going to.
Yeah, no, they're different tsunami. I mean, no, you're no talking about the weather.
I feel like I heard like a car like no one's smashing into someone's.
Oh, that guy's dead.
Yeah. Okay.
Quarterbacks throw bombs.
Well, fair point.
Torrey Smith is moving on. The Eagles traded the veteran wide receiver to the Carolina Panthers in exchange for cornerback Darryl Worley. Oh, this according to Rap Sheet on Friday. This one's also fun. I love these trades. Sometimes it's a little annoying. It's like, player X gets traded for a third-round pick this year and a 15th-round pick the next year, and then they're also sending a 7th-round pick and their cousin's dog. And it's just like, you know, sometimes just give daddy a one-for-one. And that's what we got here, a little Smith for Worley.
Good old-fashioned challenge trade.
And I'll tee you up on this one, Mark. The NFL's wave of fever dream trade action rages on. A Sessler lead.
Well, I mean, I think this is just like the Rams – who their philosophy appears to be trade, wheel and deal, acquire players before, you know, any sort of window opens. Well, the Eagles are in that same business, and they have been for years. And to get anything for Torrey Smith is a bonus, because they were simply going to cut him to clear cap space, which they desperately need to do.
This one shocked me. Darryl Worley, a young starter, 23 years old, just turned 23. I didn't think the Eagles would get anything, like Mark said, for Torrey Smith, and then to be able to get this guy. Maybe the Eagles turn around and trade Ronald Darby. There's been whispers this week that he's on the market.
Wow, really?
Spurs.
That's wild. It shows how valuable fair contracts are, because they signed this deal, Torrey Smith. He had no cap hit to them if they decided to cut him this year, and that's what they were going to do. But because they signed him to a pretty good contract, then they get the benefit of getting something for him. I think Worley lost some of his playing time at the end of the year. The Panthers coaching staff clearly kind of lost their love for him, but he was a pretty high pick, has played quite a bit, and it's a curious move by Carolina. Like, Ron Rivera said that he wanted a veteran receiver in a young group, but now he's their highest paid receiver. He hasn't really produced the last couple years. I'm a Panthers fan, I'm a little underwhelmed.
It's like trying to have lightning strike a third time, since they already got Ted Ginn to do it twice.
Right.
A fast guy with shaky hands, that seems like Torrey Smith's playing the Ginn role now.
Our buddy Matt Harmon wrote a good piece on potential Allen Robinson landing spots, and he had the Panthers on that list. It feels like they need somebody else to step in there and be a real option for Cam to fully potentially regain that MVP form. Hey, Howie Roseman, by the way?
Yeah.
Since he returned from his banishment to the grounds of Mount Airy Lodge in the Poconos. Since he came home, they let him home and got Chip out the door. 15 trades now.
Wow.
How about that?
Don't underestimate Joe Douglas, who works in that front office, former Raven.
I have underestimated.
Joe Douglas will have his own GM job next year at this time.
Roseman feeling himself at the combine, by the way. I think in years past when he was sort of newer.
Doesn't he deserve to?
No, he does. We would get a little sweaty during his pressers and, like, you know, the Philly beat reporters all grilling him and the Eagles weren't doing so hot back then. He just rolled into the combine this time.
Dress business
say
casual.
Say whatever I want to say.
And he should. He has made it in a way very few people in NFL history have, because the NFL is so conservative. It's always about football guys. Even scouts like a Joe Douglas type come up a traditional way, and they played football and all this. And you got old Howie Roseman, you know, looking like a financial analyst down at Wall Street, and he's wiping the floor with these teams. I love it.
He's like a teenage girl from a 90s movie. Take off the glasses, you know. No longer a nerd. Everybody wants him now.
Can't hardly wait. That's what you're going with?
Yeah. Who's Freddie Prinze Jr. in this scenario?
It's more accurate to She's All That.
That's what I meant. Yeah. That's what I meant.
He's
Rachel Lee Cook.
Yeah.
He's coming down the stairs in the red dress, and Sixpence None the Richer is playing.
Sixpence None the
Richer. Kiss me upon a bearded barley. Swing, swing. Greg has that one.
A depressing era in film. No.
Yeah, pour one out for Freddie Prinze Jr.
He's not dead.
No, but... his career.
His career's been gone for
Freddie's
a lot of voiceover work for him.
Freddie
he was in
a
baseball
money.
Movie with Jessica Biel.
He was in a baseball movie with Jessica Biel, Greg. He also, he's
about
married.
The Cape Cod League.
Cape Cod League.
I've been to the Cape
Summer
Cod League.
Summer Catch, of course. He's also happily married to Sarah Michelle Gellar.
He is?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer fame.
How about that?
I didn't know that.
Pronunciation.
Freddie's fine. Lay off Freddie, all right?
That the Freddie Prinze Jr. portion of the podcast was sponsored by the DVD Summer Catch. It's available for $4.99 everywhere.
No, you're not getting $4.99 for that.
Moving on, it's officially over for Richard Sherman and the Seattle Seahawks. The All-Pro cornerback has been released by the team. This coming after we learned that Sherman had been sending texts to teammates saying goodbye. There was, I guess, an attempt potentially by Seattle to make a trade, but they weren't able. Mike Garofalo made a good point yesterday on NFL Network. They were shopping Sherman last year, and they were hoping to get a first-round pick, and they couldn't even get a third-round pick offer for Sherman. So obviously, coming off a torn Achilles and a year older, the trade market was going to be shriveled up even more.
And a big price tag, too.
And a big price tag. So the decision was made, let's just part ways. So Richard Sherman enters the top 101, NFL.com. Obviously, your free agency list, scientists, where did he come down?
Weighing in at 166 pounds, he hails from Martha's Vineyard. He is NFL Network's Greg Rosenthal.
Don't hail from Martha's Vineyard. Another lie that Dan's been propagating. And what, you put 30 pounds on me?
Lie.
I kind of wish. I don't know if I wish I was 166. That would be trouble.
166?
I think that would be bad on my body frame. That would be a lot.
You're far less than 166?
I'm like 135.
Anyway, where is Richard Sherman in the top one?
I mean, that's a big difference.
That's fine.
Big difference.
Where is he?
Yeah.
He's disrespected is where he is.
Ooh, a little scientist clash here?
Wow, it's almost like you're setting this up for conflict.
I don't know. I'm learning this in real time.
Yeah, why do you have the drop of Greg weighing in?
That was a...
It's good how you...
Me and Lindsay had a miscommunication, actually.
Just own it.
No, really. Lindsay and I had a miscommunication.
Wes was very upset. We had a big disagreement.
Apoplectic would be the word.
We had a big disagreement on where he should rank in
when
the rankings.
When did this happen?
I don't know why... I wasn't really involved too much. I just kind of texted in where I thought he should be. We disagreed on a ton of players throughout this process, and it wasn't a big deal. We just averaged it, too. But this one particularly galled you, Wes. So I you have the floor.
Well, I mean, on one hand, none of this matters. Like, it doesn't matter where we rank Richard Sherman on this list. On the other hand, I was just kind of like, what's the logic behind ranking him low? A guy who's never been anything but a success— And we've already decided that most of these guys from, I don't know, five on down aren't even that good of players, so why not rank a good player high?
Wait, what was the difference between you two?
I would have put him ahead of Sheldon Richardson, which would have put him fourth.
Yeah, you had him as the top cornerback available. I had him around 40. I would rather have like a guy like Maurice Claiborne, for instance, for him, a young guy who's healthy. I think the history of...
Maurice Claiborne?
Morris Claiborne, rather. Sorry.
How is he any healthier or younger than Richard Sherman?
He's a few years younger. He's coming off a good season. A guy coming off a torn Achilles to me at 30 years old, maybe not his best year, not a dominant player.
I remember when everybody said the same thing about Cameron Wake at age 35 last year coming off an Achilles.
How about Brent Grimes?
Michael Crabtree.
Right, that was...
Slugs. The technology for Achilles reached a turnaround about a decade ago where it used to be a death sentence. Now it's a totally different procedure that they give people, and people bounce back all the time.
They do. He was at a level where I don't think he was outplaying Brent Grimes or necessarily the guys around that level. He also got a second surgery. He's also not going to be ready till July and August. And I don't think this is like a crazy hot take, because I think that if you look at the deals that he's going to get in free agency, he's not going to get a great deal. He was hoping to get a pretty, you know, significant pay cut even from the Seahawks. I think he's going to settle for like a one-year, $5 or $6 million contract. These guys that are younger and they're healthier, they're going to get the big money because that's what the NFL values.
The only thing I would say is that when I look at Richard Sherman, because a lot of times we want to try to predict the downfall of a player or their athletic ability receding before it happens, not after when everyone can see it. But he is one guy I would not doubt. I would not openly doubt. I feel like he is going to have another season or two. I liked your landing spots, too. I couldn't agree more with who you put at the top, the Niners.
He's a West Coast guy. He just seems to me more than most players a West Coast guy.
And that could be a way to get paid, because the 49ers are paying big money. It only takes one team. He landed at 18, which was close to halfway between like the two of us, and that seems fine. We disagreed on a lot of players. But Sherman is a guy I don't want to sign him to this contract. I think the Seahawks being so wary of keeping him anymore to me is concerning.
He made one point that he said he absolutely must go to a team with a great quarterback, that he's not going to just go somewhere for money.
He's smart. Smart, and he is a tremendous competitor. I'm with Mark and I'm with Wes on this one. I think he's a guy that I would not doubt, and I would not be surprised if he's having a Pro Bowl season next year somewhere, and he's letting people know about it, namely John Schneider.
That would be fun.
Maybe
I'm a little antsy. When we make mistakes on this list, if you go back through them, it's almost always just overrating guys at the back end of their career with a big name. I think a top 40 free agent isn't terrible. To me, you're like looking at guys that are starting in the NFL. I just don't know if he's going to be a difference-making starter when he's not even going to be on the field till August.
I think you'll find that our mistakes are all over the map.
That's true.
All right, so where you come down on this, Greg, you may end up right, but in terms of the court of public opinion in this room, you took an L there. However,
the NFL teams will agree with me.
However, that doesn't matter.
What matters is the play on the field.
Yes, but what I'm
Wes hasn't to, been this disagreeable
luck,
about a ranking Greg's since Adrian Peterson.
I don't think anyone's doubting that he's not going to get a monster contract, but that he's going to prove people wrong. That's where I come from.
I'm still backing Adrian Peterson.
Will you let me pivot into a compliment of you?
I don't like
it. No, you're upset. You're upset with Wes now.
I'm not upset with Wes at all. Wes, I'm trying to build a bridge.
You just
tried
to throw a Peterson dagger at him.
He was upset.
Let's just move on, because you deserve Mondo credit, Greg, for breaking some news on the insider beat.
Thank you very much. Here with NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal.
NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal.
Not just this show, but this entire program has become an ego finessing for Greg. Endless sound drops about Greg. Greg breaking all his news. Greg coming up with sound drops to celebrate Greg off-season theories. It is an endless wave of Greg appreciation, as it should
Let's get it back to Dan appreciation.
Where it should be.
Let's pivot off that.
Tyrann Mathieu, known as the Honey Badger, spoke with NFL media's Greg Rosenthal. Nice little way to dodge the .com network issue that surrounds Greg's career. And in that, what are you looking at my papers for?
Who said that?
I said it.
You said it. Oh, I was like, is that in print somewhere?
Greg is slowly sneaking his head over Dan's shoulder.
Out of his chair.
I want to know who wrote it. But I was like, I didn't write that.
Honey Badger confirmed to Greg in the NFL Network green room that the Cardinals approached him formally about taking a pay cut. Rap Sheet then added off Greg's conversation / report that it is a big pay cut that they want Honey Badger to take. And it's the way it sounded to me, the way he was talking. It's a tough time for Honey Badger. Not my favorite part of NFL coverage this time of year. The guy goes to the car wash at NFL Network today. And all right, Greg had the interview. Nice job. Now he goes on Damashek's podcast and he's getting questions. And then he has to go on Total Access. And Lindsey Rhodes is hitting him up with questions about his future. It sounds like the guy is his pride's been hurt a little bit here, and I don't think he'd be amenable to a big pay cut. So I think he might end up on this top 101 list too, and high up.
I think he will. He said, you know, there's different types of restructures. You know, you could move money around, but what I'm not too comfortable is what he said with, you know, taking money out of my pocket. And that sounded to me, and with Ian's report, that it was significant. I think it was probably around $5 million a year, that he maybe no longer fits. It's a totally different system, exactly what they do. And, I said that. I said, this is kind of a tough day for you to be going on, because Thursday was the first day he had heard from the Cardinals. He said the first time he really thought he might be cut was when he heard Steve Keim talk at the NFL scouting combine just a week ago.
This is Greg making news at the combine again. This is like Steve Smith all over again. Greg getting people cut.
It's not like I'm – give me a break.
It's your move. You're going to use it.
He agreed, though. I made the suggestion that in the end, you might get more money getting cut than you were going to get with the Cardinals anyway.
Stinky Davis, you're facilitating his exit from Arizona, where he's beloved.
He was very relaxed.
I said, gets answers.
I said, it was, isn't this a tough day? And he was like, nah, I'm cool. I'm relaxed about
it. And I believe him.
He was very relaxed and very just down to talk. But he said, well, that's what my agent thinks too. His agent is Tom Condon, who's maybe the most powerful agent in the business, and his agent thinks he can get more money than he would have gotten from Arizona, so it might not be the worst thing in the world. He sounded pretty conflicted. He'd love to stay there, but he might have, like, the Giants, for instance, has his old defensive coordinator. They could use him. Why not?
All right, so there you go. We'll see how that all goes. Let's move on. DeMarco Murray and the Titans, it's over. The Titans will release the veteran running back. This comes after a year in which it became clear that Murray maybe wasn't moving the way he used to, and Derrick Henry is ready to be the lead back in Tennessee. West, do you think that Murray will have much of a market effective immediately?
No, there's only a handful of veteran running backs getting paid more than $5 million right now. And I just don't think NFL teams pay running backs anymore, especially 30-year-old running backs. Murray's tape, when people are going to look at it, is not going to be good. If they go look at 2016, fine. But for a 30-year-old running back, you're going to look at the most recent season, and they're going to find him not making anyone miss in the hole because he was battling hamstring issues all year long. And the knee injury in the playoffs meant Derrick Henry got the playing time, which sealed his fate, because Henry went for 190 against the Chiefs.
They only have David Flewellen and Khalfani Muhammad behind Derrick Henry.
You love Flewellen. He's long
like
been
Flewellen,
a big
but they're gonna
Sessler
need,
guy.
They need to, are they going to draft someone, I think?
What about your boy Daniel Cobb? Is that his name?
David Cobb?
David Cobb.
I wouldn't classify him as my boy, but I'm not even sure where he is right now.
I'll training camp darling of Mark Sessler in the Tennessee backfield about 2 summers ago, was it?
It's actually someone different. I'll report back on that. It was not him.
Okay, moving on. The Bengals declined to pick up the option on Adam Jones, who's been in the league forever. I don't know if it closes the door on his career in Cincinnati. We'll see. But they declined to pick up the option.
It's this new nice thing that teams are putting out, declined to pick up option when they released him. I mean, he had a contract and they're releasing him.
Right.
I don't know why. It's just a thing that it's been on my radar the last couple of weeks. Why are teams doing that? It's just like, it's confusing to me.
It's a jargon switch.
A little saucy ongoing buzz. This is based reports that are percolating in the NFL, so we'll throw them out real quick here. The Miami Dolphins to cut Ndamukong Suh? This is the latest report now from ESPN's Diana Marie Rossini, who says the Dolphins are, quote, discussing releasing Sue, the defensive tackle who signed for all the money in the world about three springs ago with the Dolphins. But now Miami is facing some major cap issues, and I believe Sue has a cap number of $26 million this year, which
he
is
does.
Essentially unheard of.
He's still the highest paid defensive player in the league. He has been since the day he signed that contract.
And this report, the Miami Herald has been on the beating this drum for several weeks now. Sue gone? Saucy.
I mean, what happened to the Lions once they got rid of Ndamukong Suh? I mean, I just think, Greg, you tweeted this, that you go out and you get Robert Quinn, and then, what, a week later, you don't have Ndamukong Suh? That's your defense going backwards, not forward.
It doesn't make sense to me. Like, why are you adding mid-level, mediocre, maybe, players and getting rid of a very good player?
This is my favorite cycle of the NFL season. It's the time of the year when the Dolphins cut their previous mistakes to make room for their new mistakes.
By the way, saw Diana Marie Rossini at our Super Bowl hotel.
Nice
and
woman.
Leaving. Well, no, I have terrible
not
eyesight.
A nice
no, I don't know. No interaction. Oh. I have terrible eyesight, but I thought from across the way that she was someone else that we work with. So I was like, how you doing? Good to see you. And then, like, she was leaving to get a cab, and she walked by me like, who is this guy who just spoke to me? I thought that was awful.
I sat next to her at one of those Eagles games, I believe. Very, very nice. Little Rossini action on the podcast today.
In other saucy ongoing buzz, Drew Brees is still not under contract. Maybe it's a little surprising that they didn't get a deal done before free agency opens, or they haven't yet, with it right around the corner now. A report had emerged on Thursday night that Brees wouldn't be able to take part in the legal tampering period, which would obviously not be cool. That turned out not to be true. Both the NFL and the NFLPA told Pro Football Talk, which is a upstart football website,
a very active blog,
that Brees, through his agent, can negotiate with other teams when the window opens on Monday. Ooh, is Drew Brees gonna get a little frisky next week? Wes rolls his eyes.
I motion for a new rule on this podcast. No more Drew Brees talk until Greg is willing to go out on a limb and say that he signs with a different
no
team
way.
Than the Saints.
I would never say.
Well, then it's not even news.
I just,
it's the same conversation we've had multiple times.
Well, but now we're here 3 days apart, 3 days before free agency, and we're seeing it. The agent and the team are starting to battle through
what
the media.
What do we see?
We're getting the NFLPA involved. People are leaking different things. Tensions are rising, and I do think.
And then he signs with the Saints.
I do think he might end up talking to other teams, yeah.
Talking!
You know, I get invited down to the lab, and it's like, oh, I got invited down here so mommy and daddy can fight all the time in front of me. Don't like it.
I don't blame you.
And you know what else I don't like?
Who's the mommy?
Greg treats Drew Brees news like Total Access does with Le'Veon Bell or Dez Bryant. It's just got to be in the news.
The 135-pound male is probably the mommy in this equation.
He's the most important player in franchise history, and they're figuring it out. I'll go
so
with that.
So who's
I'll
he going to sign with?
Wes can cook, though. You know, okay, I guess that now I'm really good.
That was, Greg, you
terrible.
Stepped into it
terrible.
Right there.
Let's just move on. And other things I don't like, the NFL scouting combine. You know what? Come back to us, teams. Come back to us, 32 NFL teams. Every year, and it's become a combine trope. It's like, what's the craziest question that you've been asked and which team asked it? And then the prospect's like, oh, they asked me if I would, you know, kill a dog or a cat if I had to. And it's like, everybody's like, ah, ha, ha, laugh, put it into your little blog. And
it's better than the cliched question at the combine about the devaluation of running backs. I'll take this line of questioning more. Well, come back to us, combine reporters.
Former LSU running back Darius Geis said he was at, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Wes?
That's correct.
Thanks. Said he was asked questions about his sexuality and whether his mother was a prostitute. We're still asking if moms are hooking. I mean, where are we, society? What kind of question is that to ask during interviews at the combine last week? And I know. And then the explanation from the teams here is, well, the reason you ask those, you want to get under their skin a little bit and see how they react. It's like, well, whatever. You're asking a 20-year-old boy if his mom is a hooker. That's not cool. You're asking a guy if he's gay, which is none of your business. And it's completely backwards.
So it's arguably illegal.
arguably illegal.
Right. Maybe not even arguably.
It's against the NFL bylines that we sign the contract every year. And it did. And then I read Bobby Klemko wrote a piece for SA.com about Baker Mayfield. And your boy's the Browns, Mark. Not to that level. But as soon as he walks in the room, John Dorsey, who's talking about guys that are full of themselves, says,
"Wow,
so you like food trucks?" And then according to Bobby Klemko, with Dorsey's jab, everyone had a nice laugh at Mayfield's expense, Mayfield included. Mayfield got into a scuffle outside a food truck when he was in college. Hey, everybody stop giving, you know, coming after these players
so
and trying to get them mad. And it's just, like, silly to me.
But you know
I don't
what,
like
though?
It.
It tells me, because it's sort of the same stuff you heard going way back, that there's still a lot of old boys network lugheads running some of these meetings.
Well, between
and I'm not saying that's Dorsey, but Dorsey's an old school duel.
But
I'm
just
not
the Browns, and I know the leadership has changed, but the Browns of all teams are getting cute asking that question. You're the team that took Manziel, and now you're trying to figure out, is he the next Manziel? So you're giving this guy crap? Lay low, Cleveland.
We're still dragging a lot of these old school, longtime career NFL guys into the 21st century.
Right.
18 years later.
Right. I think it's probably pretty typical of American and maybe worldwide, but I can only speak to American business at large. I mean, there's a lot of ingrained people that are in positions of power that haven't really caught up to what the social world is right now.
But
and they're going to get washed out. It's their responsibility.
Well, they're getting washed out, and they're going to continue to get
washed out. Right, but there's a lot of them are still in power and have
and there are more in the NFL than there are in other sports.
That's the thing, because you can fail in the NFL in the front office or at the coaching level and keep getting rehired over and over and over.
That's Evan Silva's cocoon theory. Love that.
There is this idea. It's almost like it's become these questions that these guys get. It's become like performative because these teams know that then it will get reported and then the teams will look interesting or funny or different. It's just like enough.
Well, not in this case. Not in this case. Here,
he should call them out.
That's a PR disaster for whoever gets whoever they find out.
You should call them out. You should just be like,
change, move, evolve. That's what's happening in the news. A quick listener's note. We recorded this segment before Jarvis Landry was traded to the Browns. Enjoy. Okay, here we go. Go get my lunch. You piece of garbage. All right, gogetmylunch.org is where you could see the updated standings and all the history of this great game where each of us make predictions about various league tentpole events, this time free. Well, yeah, tentpole events, kind of. Who cares? Free agency. In this case, we will go through it around the room three times with predictions, and then we all will get an opportunity to either agree with that prediction or say, no. You go get my lunch, monster. You're wrong. I'm going against you on it. And a little check of the all-time standings.
Maybe we don't do that.
Greg, you and I are in a great all-time war. All-time.
I mean, I haven't seen any sandwiches since our Super Bowl sandwich prop, so I will continue with this process.
Under protest.
But
I'm in a similar place.
A little concerned.
I am at first at 54.
Although I don't think I even did well in the Super Bowl.
I am in first place at 54.1%. Greg, you are right behind at 53.9% all time.
Yeah, you guys are so far ahead of me.
Wes at 50.7%.
How can I make up that distance?
Well, it's funny. When we've actually had 200 games, quote-unquote,
it's a little harder to get.
You're like eight games behind.
And Mark, you're at 44.2%.
I'm flying.
Percent all time. And you had asked Mark if I had really struggled last season. No, I did not. In fact, last year was Chris Wessling's Waterloo, a 3-9 Mark, and 0-4 on predictions. So Wes needs a big bounce.
I had cancer.
he had something growing inside him. Get off his back.
I'm recalling one tentpole event where
you didn't know it.
It was still affecting my body and my mind.
All right, well,
it's fair.
Listen, who are we to say?
By the way, Colleen, 61.2%.
Colleen is actually in first place. She's 19-12, while we've had 200 and something.
It's like in baseball where you need to appear in like 2/3 of your team.
Yeah,
games.
She's like a September caller.
Yeah, she needs more at-bats to qualify for this. But she's done very well in limited.
Well, you know who should be embarrassed is our editor, Ali Bonpuri. A 0.0%.
What a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Total nightmare. All right.
Full blue tarsi.
Amazing even shows up to work.
We're going around the room. Three times. But what we always do, we have one universal prop. You guys ready for the universal prop? Are you ready?
Yes.
We're ready.
Plug in, Kissing Cousins, because it's about Kirk Cousins. Where does Kirk Cousins land? What team does he sign with? It is the flashpoint. It is the everything revolves around this decision, especially in the quarterback market. So let's go around the room. Everyone just make their pick. Nick Fortier at gogetmylunch.org will be cataloging. Mark Sessler.
We are going with Kirk Cousins out of the gate here.
I mean, I just set it up.
I am going to. I'm going
35
Vikings.
35 seconds straight.
I'm going Vikings.
Vikings. And do you want to give like a quick reasoning why?
I mean, unless you've been in a cave for 4 weeks, you know why. I mean, it's like they're linked together. There's right. a lot of cash in Minnesota. They're not really super committed to any of their own quarterbacks.
Burn torch between Mark and Dan here.
No, I mean,
no, not at all. But I think it's self-explanatory if you've been following right. the tea leaves of free agency.
But it doesn't mean it's definitely happening.
Not at all. But to me, it's my favorite of the group.
Wes.
That is the smart money.
That's the smart pick, yes.
That is the smart money.
Smart sandwich.
I'm gonna get risky in this year's edition because I have to make up some ground, as Greg
That's
pointed
out.
That's
a risky move, too.
Yeah, I know it's a risky move, but for me, I'm not going to doubt John Elway's ability to get his man once he gets him in a room. I'm going with the Broncos. I realize that's a dark horse pick.
I feel like we always get this group one wrong, and the dark horses win a lot of the time. You know what I mean?
It's funny because the Broncos, everyone immediately when this started with Cousins said, oh, Denver, it's done. John Elway, he recruited Peyton Manning. They have a needed quarterback. It all makes sense. And you got Von Miller, like, I like Lucky Charms too. And you have all that stuff. But now it's kind of gone away from Denver. So that's a good one, Wes. That's a nice dark horse.
We'll see.
Because it all makes sense still. It's not like it doesn't make sense.
There's only four teams that are even in the mix, it seems like. And I would put the Broncos maybe as – they're in there because of Elway.
I tweeted about it. I had a dream. I had a real dream 2 nights ago. A premonition. I saw Kirk Cousins in a hallway, and I had just learned that he had signed with my New York Jets. And I ran to Kirk, and I hugged – none of this is a joke. This is not a bit. I hugged Kirk Cousins, and I said, congratulations, man. Best of luck to you, man. And he said, thanks a lot. And he seemed like a really nice guy. Mm. And then I went back and read about it and watched coverage of it. And there were people saying, oh, bad move by Cousins. He should have went to the Vikings. Win now, win now, win now. But no, in this premonition, he joins Gangrene. So that is my choice.
It's getting some more buzz lately that they could actually do this.
Well, it makes all the sense.
I mean, he is a great guy. Some of his teammates have been throwing some shots lately.
He likes money.
In my dream, he
came off
well. They
have money. They have a lot of money.
He loves money. Who doesn't love money?
I mean, I'd say some people, it might not be the thing that drives them. I'm not sure it drives Kirk Cousins, but we won't know because he's exceedingly rich and has been filthy rich for years.
He'll be fine.
All right, Greg, how about you? So far, this is unprecedented, by the way. Usually, like last year, the same question was about Adrian Peterson. Three or four of us said Raiders, I believe. and he ended up, of course, signing with the Saints to disastrous results. So far in this, all three of us have chosen different landing spots. The only other landing spot is Arizona. So, Greg, are you going to just...
No, although I have noticed how Rap Sheet keeps banging this
Arizona drum.
But I'm going to go with the safe answer and just go with Minnesota. I mean, I don't know if that's safe or not. I think Denver and Minnesota are the two I can imagine in my mind's eye. But I like that fit with the Vikings.
All right. There you go. Now let's start with each of our individual props. Mark, get us going.
All right, DeMarco Murray, we just talked about him. I say that DeMarco Murray will land with a team in the NFC East.
That's right. Well, he's not going back to Dallas.
I think he could potentially. I could see Dallas. That's the
he's
thing.
He's definitely not going to Philly. But you're right, the other three teams need running backs kind of like that. I already immediately regret putting DeMarco Murray into our top 101. I think he's like 92, and now I look at it, I'm like, oh, why'd we do that? We agreed on that one.
You think he will get signed, though?
Oh, yeah. I think he'll get signed.
I think it might take some time for him to get signed.
I like this one, Mark. You've got me really on the fence.
I have a general rule. I always take Mark up, so I will take you up on this.
Well, because typically they're absurd.
This one's good, though.
This feels like you might catch some sandwiches.
So he's not going back to Philly.
The old sandwich catcher bet.
He's not going back to Philly, but Dallas, where's Al Morris? Is he still in
the building? He's not currently a free agent himself, and they don't have a Darren McFadden in the building
Giants
right now.
Giants certainly could use a running back.
Never know.
They definitely need a running back.
Yeah, I'll take you up on this. The odds are...
Oh, you got 28-4, so...
Right.
I'll take you up on it.
I will take you up as a matter of principle as well.
Spins my comeback.
Yeah, I think he might be onto something here.
Wes, you're up.
This is especially for Greg. Richard Sherman gets more guaranteed money than Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, no. I need to...
Oof.
You caught him flat-footed. He didn't get a chance to study the market.
Well, just because I needed extra ones, and I have one that's almost too similar. Maybe I'll just throw it out right now, and we'll just have the Richard Sherman. Oh, no. That's too confusing.
Hang on.
Gets more guaranteed money than Teddy Bridgewater. I think they both could be on one-year deals. Although Sherman probably has a little better chance of maybe getting two.
Sherman gets more than Teddy?
Mm-hmm.
I think Teddy could end up.
I'll take you up on it. The chance, I think, is I don't think it'd be crazy for Sherman to get like a two-year deal. But, yeah, ultimately I do think Teddy will do better.
I'll take you up because I think some team out there is going to view Teddy Bridgewater as a legit potential starter, and he'll sneak past Sherman in the guaranteed money column.
I think it's a coin flip with Bridgewater. He could either get a deal that surprises you a little bit, or he could get 1 year, $3 million.
Yep.
I think Sherman's going to end up getting more, so I will not take you up on it, right? You said Sherman
Correct.
Will?
I said Sherman will.
Yeah, I will not take you up. I agree with you. I think he'll get paid, even though he is his own agent, which gives me pause. And I like this.
Russell Okung got paid.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't want to.
Great example.
Yeah, I don't want to speak ill of Sherman's abilities at a bargaining table. He's a very smart guy. He went to Stanford, but he's also a novice in this. We'll see. I won't take it.
Should I throw out my Richard Sherman one? I'm not going to pivot.
Go ahead.
Unless I did a Drew Brees, unless I threw that in there. I'm going to go. Richard Sherman will not be among the top five cornerbacks in the market in guaranteed money.
All right, who do you got? You got Malcolm Butler. You got
Tremaine Johnson.
Butler, by the way, people are throwing a lot of cold water on his market that he might have to accept like a one-year.
Yeah, because your team poisoned his market. Hope you feel good about that. He's throwing a sleeve.
I hope he returns to the Patriots. Seems unlikely, but you never know.
Malcolm Butler, Tremaine Johnson. What are the cornerbacks in the
Kyle
top?
Kyle Fuller.
He won't be in the top five?
Won't even be in the top five. Wes said he's the number one cornerback in his market.
Guaranteed money?
Shad Breeland out
But
there?
I'm not ranking on what NFL teams are going to pay him. I'm ranking
that.
On how well he's going to play.
I think he's going to sign an incentive-laden contract with not a lot of guaranteed money, so I will not take you up.
Not even top five. Maybe should have made it longer.
You're saying not he will not be top
five. Won't even be
I will
top
take
five.
You up.
You
why not?
You would have to be sick.
The only way I win these things is to continually take everyone up on everything.
That's
typically smart. Yes. Yeah.
Generally the way to go. Dan and I, the best winning percentage. We also have the most games played, which I think because we've taken that approach.
Warriors.
So, Jake Gaines. Brent Grimes.
I'd be relying on someone kind of random, sneaking in.
You know what? I'm going to take you.
I'm going to take it.
I changed my mind. I'm going to take you up on it. There's just not enough guys there.
You also could be hoping for like a big name cut or something to happen.
Right, yeah. That's the wild card.
Yeah. There's
another
a lot of guys. Claiborne, who knows?
Or like Ndamukong Suh moves to cornerback.
I'm counting on the market.
I mean, he's going to finish behind Butler, Johnson, and Fuller most likely.
This is guaranteed money.
Guaranteed, yes.
Okay.
To be clear, yes.
But can he make more guaranteed money than Brent Grimes or Rashad Breeland? Yeah, I think he can. So I
don't think he can than Breeland, but that's me.
Yeah, I think Breeland's going to make money.
Here's mine. Here we go. I've had this theory in mind since the day I heard Larry Fitzgerald was coming back to Arizona. I've mentioned it on the podcast. I think he is such a beloved figure in that region, on that team. He's royalty, that they will not hang Larry Fitzgerald out to dry with a rookie quarterback or some bum and I don't want to say bum, but it won't be a veteran off the street that doesn't have recent track record of success. I think they're going to give him someone that the fan base can get a little excited about. So I look to the Minnesota Vikings, who have Sam Bradford, who would qualify, who have Case Keenum, who would qualify, and who have Teddy Bridgewater. All three, I think, would qualify as something the fans could say, okay.
Well, so how are we measuring?
That.
How are we measuring?
Let me finish.
This. Okay.
Let me finish. They can all get behind it. I need to finish.
All right. Continue on. Go.
Just let me finish, okay?
This is uncomfortable.
The Arizona Cardinals will sign one of those Vikings quarterbacks that played in 2017.
I cannot take you up on this because, unfortunately, and I'm showing Dan the paperwork, that was one of
Same
my props.
One.
How random is that the Cards would sign a Vikings quarterback?
Wow, because they're not going to get Kirk Cousins, I don't think.
Rapsheed's
beating the drum, so I think they'll have to settle for the secondary market. I don't think they'll go through the draft with Larry Fitzgerald there in his last season. I think they'll get a veteran QB, and those are the best ones on the market.
I mean, I had one of mine extra ones was Teddy Bridgewater, the Cardinals, and just hearing Steve Keim and hearing ownership on down, they are talking about attacking the quarterback market in the draft, in free agency. They have no quarterbacks. You're going to have to sign probably two quarterbacks and draft one or do that in reverse order. So I won't take you up because I think that if you're looking at a legit starter, a challenger, it has to come from Minnesota.
Who else is even in the mix? I guess
Josh McCown
type.
But I mean, that's not... That's,
I could see Josh McCown.
Which would make sense.
That's not a fan excitement guy.
AJ McCarron.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway.
Drew Brees.
Wes?
I could really see Josh McCown, but I think the math tells me that I can't take this because the chances are...
I got no action on this?
No action.
It's, you know what? It's a good one, but it makes too much sense. Mm.
Process of elimination.
I got to pivot to coming up with something else here. Bad planning.
Do you want to take a...
Well, I've already gone, so we're going back to Mark. I got time. I'm good.
All right. Okay, Mark, you're
all right. Now, I know we don't want long window ones, but this has to happen if it's going to happen in the next month. It's going to have to happen probably in the middle of free agency or well before the draft. Joe Thomas retires.
Wow.
I'll take you on it.
It's flipping the coin. But I think
we need to put an end date on it.
I mean, no, I think it's going to happen, but like I'd say before the draft, distinctly before the draft. Is that fair? Because
that's fine.
He told them he's going to have to let them know who they have to pick.
I know
and all this stuff.
Before the draft, so that's it.
Okay. I know Mark has sparrows that he talks to. He's friendly with several of the beat reporters.
He's got sources inside that building.
All the time you'll hear Mark say, oh, this is happening, or I heard this. So this is not being pulled out of thin air.
Well, the sources say the opposite, actually, around this one.
I'm saying there's somebody that's in your ear that said this could happen. You're not just... Because obviously, why if the sources are...
I like for you to think that.
You have a Mary Kay Cabot or someone from the actual... Browns.com telling you that
your face
that
gave it away, Mark.
Honestly, the reason I went with this direction, because I think if I said he will return, I don't get any action on that because Rap Sheet said at the combine he's coming back.
You're right.
Likely.
I'm taking you up on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're getting action.
Yeah, I'm
taking that action.
And you're right. I don't think anybody would take you if you said that he's coming back.
That'd be boring.
Yeah.
I will lose, but it's not.
But
it's
there's
not
a sparrow.
There's a sparrow.
I will be honest. In this case, there is no sparrow on this one.
I like the way you play this game.
I
don't even care whether you win. You just want action.
I think for him, what I want to think about is why would he come back? The money is one thing, but unless you're going to come back for three or four seasons,
I'm looking in your eyes right now.
I don't have a sparrow.
Somebody said something to you.
I mean, I'm telling you the truth.
Can I look at your DMs on your tweet deck?
Sure. I have nothing on this one. I'm just saying, why would he come back for one season outside
of the money? Did Mary Kay Cabot tell you that Joe Thomas is
retiring? I'm not in conversations with Mary Kay Cabot.
How about we get to look at your Facebook Messenger back and forth?
I mean, talk about it.
He's very active on Facebook.
I'm actually using Facebook probably 14 minutes
a week. I feel like we might find out. This is like when they're investigating Trump or any sort of legal thing.
Here's the real parallel.
They never really find what they are initially looking for, but then you find some other things.
Unless you're Tom Brady and you smash your phone.
Did you have a boozy conversation with Mike Silver at the Combine who heard from Hugh Jackson, his boy, is having major doubts?
He would not tell me a word, yes or no, Mike Silver.
Nate Ulrich.
No.
Has he told you anything?
No.
Tony Grossi.
I like the fact that you believe this is information.
Daryl Reuter.
Nope. None of those
Did Daryl Reuter tell you anything?
Not at all.
All right.
I'm Wes, taking it, are you?
Yeah, we're all taking it.
We're all taking it.
All right.
You got a lot of sandwiches on the line. Good job, Mark.
Kyle Fuller signs a contract with a team not named the Chicago Bears. That doesn't mean he can't also sign a contract with the Bears, but he will sign with another team.
He signed like an offer sheet that the Bears
have to match? Yeah, he signs an offer sheet.
Oh, I agree with you, right? Isn't he?
I think this one is.
What am I missing here?
Well, not all transition tag guys sign with another team.
I think this is a case where it's pretty close to 50-50 just because that number for him is so high and he has an interesting, really up and down career. So it's possible he won't. I don't think it's crazy. I'm not going to take you up on the two. Ultimately, I do think some team will go for him.
I would guess that the numbers say way more than half do not sign. Of transition tag players, do not sign with another team.
I mean, it's not used that often. Alex Mack signed a sheet, I believe, with the Jaguars. So, is that how that went down?
Yeah.
Olivier Vernon had one, and then they took it off of him before he even signed with the Giants.
So refresh my memory. They get to shop themselves.
It's like a restricted free agent.
Right. Yeah. He's basically a free agent, and except the Bears get nothing in return. So he's going to go out there, and he's going to try to get a great deal elsewhere. And the Bears are hoping he doesn't.
I think that he will get an offer because I think he's at a position of need and he's the right age and all that stuff coming off a great year. So I think he will get an offer.
I do too. You say he will as well? All right.
Nothing. No. Nobody reeled nobody in on that.
That's okay. Two no reels. We need a better word for that.
Small fish.
No reels.
No reels.
All right. This one, Greg, this is right out of your playbook. You ready?
Yes.
Amongst non-quarterbacks. So you take out Kirk, you take out Drew. And let me just cover myself here. Take out Ndamukong Suh if he hits the market. Okay? Andrew Norwell gets the most guaranteed money in free agency. Guard, a lot of percolating buzz that he's going to the Giants, and it's almost a done deal already. I looked at your boy, Mark, Kevin Zeitler. Mm. Last year got a crap ton of money, guaranteed money, and you look at everyone else in the top 10 for your guys' 101. I think Norwell, again, offensive line, which is a major premium position in free agency because everybody stinks. He's going to get paid a lot of dough by his boy Dave Gettleman.
So take out Sue and Cousins and Breeze.
Yeah, and you get the field.
I'll take the field just as a matter of principle. I think this is a good.
Come on, Andrew.
A good wager or prop by Dan because I think Norwell would.
I thought you would like this.
Certainly
one.
Has a chance. He has a solid chance. I unfortunately have a very similar one coming next.
I will take you up in the spirit of the game. I think you're again though it's logical. Nice one, logical.
Hmm. You know who I would keep an eye on if I were you? Well. I'll get to it. But Sheldon Richardson's one guy I think keep an eye on for cert.
I think he's going to have to do a
proof. Although he probably isn't getting
I want to take you up on it too. And I feel like Sammy Watkins could be a wild card.
Yep, I looked at him.
Solder, you never know.
Allen Robinson.
You never know.
Yeah, you know.
Norwell's kind of the safest bet of all of these guys.
I agree.
He's kind of, to me, he's the favorite, but that doesn't mean he's likely to actually be the guy, if that makes sense.
I agree with Greg, but out of principle, I'm going to take the field.
All right. Like it.
It's a very well played.
Thank you. And it might cost me everything, but because
you might have lured us into a trap there. That was well done.
All right, Greg.
Well, I had a similar one, but I'm sticking with it because it's a little different. Trumaine Johnson will get the most guaranteed money of any defensive player. And you can throw in Sue or anyone else that happens to get cut in the meantime, too. Trumaine Johnson of the Rams.
The most of any defensive player?
Of any defensive player, Trumaine Johnson gets it.
He's going to get into the 49ers' pockets.
I think he's so
that, is that the buzz?
He's so well
I'm not
set
even
up
really basing this on anything cap. Other than.
Are the 49ers signing literally everyone in free agency?
So they got like the money.
All right, so defense. So Richardson, Kyle Fuller, Malcolm Butler,
Sue,
Shad Breeland,
Sherman,
Sue potentially.
Your boy Wilkerson.
Honey Badger potentially. Ooh, Honey Badger.
Honey Badger.
I'll take you.
I'll throw in all the cut guys too.
I'm going to bank on Honey Badger getting cut and signing a big contract with a team that wants that type of guy in their clubhouse and are willing to pay for it.
Similar to Dan's, I believe he is the favorite, but I'll still take the field.
All right.
I will, like, too. Let's do it.
Saucy. Good round.
Uh-oh.
It's back.
Keep
breaking
the of this.
The Oakland Raiders defensive tackle Justin Ellis has agreed to a 3-year deal worth $15 million, taking
that
him off the top 101. Big news. It's shaking up the NFL world. Everyone's crazy.
Oh, no. Bigger news. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Mike Evans has agreed to a $582.5 million
and a big spot,
including $55 million in guarantees.
Greg, you got blown out.
Oh, I'm sticking with it.
Rap Sheet reports $17 million a year in the Mike Evans deal, right under Antonio Brown as the highest paid NFL receiver.
Wow.
I think Greg's news might have been just a little bit bigger.
I don't even remember Greg's
news. I don't either.
It has a big impact in my house because now it's time to get that Raiders Ellis jersey that I've been thinking about for years for my daughter. It's happening.
Mike Evans gets paid a ton of dough. Makes all the sense in the world. Pair your young quarterback with a young stud wide receiver. Didn't have a great year last year, but was unstoppable the year before.
Already getting paid more than Norwell. You're done.
Does that count? I am all out on the Bucks.
All out?
They did me wrong.
I'm surprised Cutter came back.
They did us wrong last year. Come on.
I don't want to.
Dirk Cutter's still employed.
The man.
I know. Every few days, I suddenly think about that. Like, wait, Cutter and Mike Smith are still their coaches?
Oh,
like,
Mike Smith's still there, too?
Like, probably, that guy was pulling his hair out by week four of the preseason. Dirk Cutter and Jameis Winston were like feuding at the end of the season through the newspapers.
It's a good point.
So, and they went like 3-13. Let's bring them back.
They brought Fitzy back.
I wonder. Yeah, they beat.
I'm done with this team.
They beat the Saints in that Week 17 game. I think that saved them.
All right, here we go.
Last time around.
Last time around. Mark, go ahead.
All right, Wes.
A lot of pressure on you, by the way, coming up here. You never want to go a whole game without anybody getting into you.
No, he did the first time around.
Oh, I thought you didn't. I thought the first two came up empty.
I sort of misspoke that there were two different ones in general, yours and
I got
his.
I got take a Walla Walla
yeah,
on my last
year. Hang some onion?
Yeah, I got a Walla
Now's
Walla.
Now's the time.
Let's hang some onion.
All right, we will come out of free agency with a scenario
I'll take this.
That takes on a nickname bigger than the helmet cat. No.
I'll take it.
How about this one? Free agency fallout. I really feel like this is going to happen. There will be a high-profile firing at the sort of tail end fallout of free agency, because one team that goes in with big plans totally open face botches what they were trying to do, and it creates a PR disaster, and there is a big name firing.
Even before the draft, they didn't even get
big name firing. Yeah.
Well, obviously, take.
How do we define the parameters on big name firing? Yeah, does it have to be a general manager?
So I think it would need to be someone that would talk at the combine. Someone
like a general
that would,
manager.
Yeah, not
or a
like
coach.
Not like oh the fifth guy in the. Going
to simplify it, a coach or a GM.
I think coach or GM. Or like, let's say...
A personnel director.
Like someone
whatever.
like a...
A football czar?
Yeah, someone in the
someone
world.
In charge.
A true decision maker. We can all...
Like Tannenbaum would count, for instance.
Yeah,
not
like,
technically.
Right. Some sort of other
someone
dude.
Like that. We can... And the end date is the draft again.
Yes.
And I'm glad I pre-took this. I actually would like...
pre-took?
I am going to pre...
Like the ACT.
I'm going to pre-take Mark's third prop... Just moving forward.
Forever.
Indefinitely.
I will also take this one.
Now,
Post-take.
Personnel groups, and I think sometimes even GMs, get cleared out right after the draft. We're talking before the draft.
Doug Whaley, for instance, did last year.
Scott McLuhan.
So
let me ask you a question.
It should be before.
Okay. I mean, I think it's before. If it's after, it's probably that could happen for other reasons that would be messier. I really think it will be in response to like in-house fighting that leaks out to the press based on a free agency disaster.
So the deadline is, I believe, April 26th.
Sure, by the first pick of the draft.
Okay, I'm in. You got three wagers there. All right, Wes, last one.
The Arthur Jones Memorial, one team versus the field.
Yep, I got one too, so go ahead.
But this one is going another level deeper.
Whoa.
Both A.J. McCarron and Terrell Pryor sign with the Cleveland Browns. You guys get the other 31 teams.
A.J. McCarron and who? Pryor?
Oh!
Wes and I had the same exact bet.
That's funny. I also had that my last one was going to be Terrell Pryor, prior to the Browns. But
I can't take you because I believe it will happen, and I had it as one myself.
Yeah, because
this goes against Greg, though, because you get all 31 teams.
Yeah, I'll take it.
And two things have to happen.
I think I think it's a clever one because I do think there's a really good chance you'd get it right, though, just because
I think McCarron's happening.
I just think these are two players that the Browns love more than the rest of the league, and
this,
we know it.
This trap, this lure was thrown out specifically to get Greg Rosenthal.
You got him.
Yeah.
I set this trap for Greg. In theory, I could just say no then just to...
It goes against everything you believe in.
Give Greg the field. He'll take it.
Not everything.
Not only the field, but double permutation.
I believe in
a double prong.
We've got an unwieldy mechanism here.
I believe in children.
Is this a Whitney Houston song?
I believe in professional tennis.
You are speaking out loud, Greg.
But I'll take that.
All right.
Just to make it more interesting.
I'll take it too, because even though I threw Pryor out there, that's another one of those things where, it makes so much sense for Terrell Pryor to go back to the Browns, but does it really? What if another team likes him a lot and offers him more money?
I think, yeah, I feel like McCarron.
McCarron feels more predestined at this point, but who knows? So I will take you, but it makes sense. It's a good one. And you took mine, so I'm just going to fly by the seat of my pants and say, even though a lot of people say it won't happen for a while because teams are going to want to see how he's recovering and blah, blah, blah. Richard Sherman signs within...
A lot of Sherman.
Within 3 weeks of the start of free agency.
That's the onion hanger? Okay, 3 weeks of the start of free agency. I think he will.
Okay. It's widely thought that he will not, that teams are going to wait this thing out. Going against the football cognoscenti.
I think he will.
I'm looking for a coin to flip.
Yeah, this one feels up in the air because I could see he's a good enough player that a team's just going to take the chance and get it done, like a team like the 49ers, how you mentioned.
Mm, just for sporting purposes, I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it, sure.
Okay.
I think it's 50-50.
Greg, close it up.
Mine was going to be Marshawn Lynch gets cut. After all this talk by the Raiders, bye-bye.
I love it.
I mean,
you got
would it happen? What's the time frame here? Just open ended?
That's a good question. Yeah, I'll even say by the end of March.
Yeah, I think any of these need to be before the draft, right? I'll take you, but I think that you're onto something there.
After all this, ooh, this is our guy.
No, it's
our
exactly.
Guy. Ooh, yeah,
it'll
yeah,
be the,
yeah. It'll, yeah. Oh yeah, wait, it's John Gruden.
Bye. I will not take you. Gruden's already out having dinner with Doug Martin. I'm not taking that one.
Okay, there you go. So Nick Fortier does a great job every year organizing this. He also has that great drops board. If you want to check out some golden around the NFL podcast drops, his soundboard. So check that out at gogetmylunch.org. We will be back on Monday for the beginning of the legal tampering period. And then we will have shows Wednesday, which will be the start of free agency. Show will go up a little bit later because we want to have some of this info in hand. And then we'll have a Friday show that will be kind of clearing up the first week, the debris of the tsunami. Now it's kind of like a signing tsunami. Is that fair to say as well?
There'll be some cut tsunami. And then the next week after that.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be heading to Orlando.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful Orlando, where for the first time ever, the Around the NFL podcast as a foursome will be recording live from the owners' meetings. So we're very excited about that. We're going to do two shows from Orlando in the last week of March. So things are happening. Shadowy League figures were excised from the building. And a direct result of that means the show has some support. And that's nice. What, did I say too much?
No,
not at all.
Greg and I have been to this double gigantic castle hotel in Orlando. This is, you're going to like the digs.
Famously went jogging together.
This is the one owner's meeting where I've been to. And yes, famously we went jogging and saw Anderson Cooper.
Very nice. Very nice to us.
Okay, so a lot of fun stuff coming up as the NFL calendar gets into a real saucy portion. But let's get out of here. Have a good weekend, everybody. This is Dan Hansa signing off for The Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, and Miss Moneybags, Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Give me some of that money, Lindsay. Give me it. Till Monday!